Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Justin Freed, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mike Luciano. Mike, it is sunny outside. We got July 4th coming up in a day. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm looking forward to the four-day weekend. And I don't think that's really a hot take there. I think everybody's looking forward to
four-day weekend. I'm an idiot. 4 days. Sorry, my bad.
What day is today, Justin?
I forgot how to count.
Today's Wednesday. Well, we film the Jet Press Podcast every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. So I'm glad that you're tuning in, whether you're at work, maybe you took a day off to get on vacation, maybe head down to the beach with the kids, however you may be listening. We thank you for that. You can always find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. And we're on YouTube at the Jet Press. You can subscribe there. You can like the stream, which really helps boost us in that Google algorithm. You can also leave a good review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps, too, to get us up those charts. But now that that is out of the way, we got some Jets content for you because we got position rankings to talk about. We got mock drafts to talk about in July. Oh, you bet. The content machine never stops, and then we're going to continue our segment from last week where we drafted all-time teams. We are now drafting our all-time defense to go along with our all-time offense with visual aids.
Yes.
Now, we have figured out this newfangled doohickey that we call our streaming software. So let's still start off with some Jets praise because I feel like the last couple weeks have been a lot of why is the national media underrating or hating on the Jets with the Aaron Rodgers thing and Florio ranking them in the 20s as a team. Like, come on. Pro Football Focus, who I have been mighty critical of, to say the least, of their whole philosophy and the way that they sort of come out with their numerical grades. There are some problems. But they have realized how deep and how skilled this Jets roster is because they do position rankings, you know, best whatever group in the NFL, linebackers, defensive line, wide receivers, quarterbacks, they do the whole nine yards. And in three separate articles, the Jets have come out as the number one linebacking core in the league, the number one defensive line in the league, and the number one secondary in the league, which would lead many to believe that they have the number one defense in the league in PFF's eyes, which apparently Robert Saleh deserves no credit for. I know some people don't like him. Apparently, that has nothing to do with that. A defensive coach has nothing to do with building the number one defense. That's how some people want to think. But Robert Saleh has done, in my opinion, a fantastic job of constructing this unit. And if you look at – I'm going to go look at something that surprised me a little bit, specifically the linebackers. The linebackers are what really – that was my most surprising number one ranking because secondary was, in my opinion, obvious. Defensive line, we know how deep they are. Linebackers surprised me. And then me and Justin were talking before the show, looking at it. This list made me realize, among a couple other things, that everybody says, and I would tend to agree with everybody in this case, being the media, that Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the league. And if he is not, then Roquan Smith is the best. And one of those guys are one and the other guy's two. Personal preference at that point. Then there was really a debate over who's number three. And we threw out some options like Oluokun and in Jacksonville, and Patrick Queen, formerly of Baltimore, now in Pittsburgh. There's a couple guys out there, and then all of a sudden, Quincy Williams, All-Pro last year, he's probably the number three linebacker in football. And the Jets have him alongside another guy in C.J. Mosley, who I certainly don't think is what he was at his prime in Baltimore, but is probably a top 12 linebacker in the league.
100%.
Maybe even top 10.
I'd say
top 10. What an embarrassment of riches at this position, which is funny because a year ago even, or 2 years ago, this linebacking core was horrendous. I mean, think of all the names that went in and out of there. And I know Frankie Louvre ended up being good later with Carolina, but all the Neville Hewitts and Blake Cashman, just all of them in and out, churning. And now here are the Jets all of a sudden with an elite unit. It really kind of blows my mind how quickly they got this good, especially Quincy Williams.
Hey, never forget James Burgess, man. James Burgess led the Jets, I believe, in tackles in 2019 and then played like 3 games in the NFL after that or something like that. And that was it for him.
I got him nothing.
What was that?
That season got him nothing. That was good for nothing.
No, that goes to show you tackles aren't the be-all, end-all. But, yeah, man, it's wild to see this. And it's almost jarring on paper because PFF's doing these position rankings, and they have 6 different position groups that they did. They did running back, wide receiver, O-line, D-line, linebacker, and secondary. The Jets have 3 of the 6 best position groups in the NFL, according to PFF, which is – I don't think there's another team, actually, that had – multiple, maybe I think the Niners were there for running back and wide receiver.
And they were close on a couple other ones.
They were definitely
not number one.
I don't know if I'd say the Niners are the best receiving core either, but it's wild. I don't know if there's ever been a time, like, and you'd have to look back on this in the PFF era, that they have graded one team as having the best position group on every single facet of the defense going into a season. Obviously, PFF is not everything. This isn't to say that the Jets are going to have the best defense of all time, that this would imply. But it is to say that the Jets probably have a good case to be the best defense in the NFL. I don't think you can make a good argument that they don't have the best secondary in the NFL. I think it's definitely the corners. Obviously, they have the best cornerback trio. Sauce Gardner is the number one corner in the NFL. Michael Carter is a top 3 slot corner. And DJ Reed is probably a top 12-ish cornerback just overall in the league. Their safeties are obviously a work in progress. We'll see what they got there. If they're weak in one position group, it's that. But it really doesn't matter when you have all pros at linebacker, all pros in defensive line, and obviously all pros at cornerback. And yeah, dude, like we were talking about the linebackers before this. If Patrick Queen had stayed in Baltimore, it would probably be Queen and Roquan Smith being the best linebacker duo. But now that he's gone to Pittsburgh, I don't know. If Dre Greenlaw was healthy, you know, I mentioned him before the show, but he might not play this year. He's coming off the Achilles injury. I don't know. I don't think there's another team up there that can really match the Jets. The Bills have a really good duo with Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard. I think the Bears, you can make a case. But it's probably the Jets. Like, it's probably the Jets. And I think I'm higher on Mosley than you are. Like, I think C.J. Mosley is firmly a top 10 linebacker after the last 2 seasons that he's had. The Jets last season, and again, PFF is not everything. C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams had the number 1 and number 2 highest graded PFF coverage grades amongst all linebackers. That's insane. Like, that's completely absurd. So if you combine that with their corners and then the fact that they have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, and I think this D-line got worse in the offseason, and they're still probably the best D-line in the NFL. It's crazy, man. There is a very, very, very valid argument that the Jets are the best defense in the NFL going into next year. And it's at the point where you just hope for competent offensive play, and you would hope with Aaron Rodgers back, there's no reason they shouldn't at least have competent offensive play.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But I mean, look at the other defenses that were regarded as elite last year. Cleveland fell off hard at the end of the year. Baltimore, still going to be good, but they lost so many pieces. Yep. Jadeveon Clowney, Geno Stone. They lost a lot of guys, didn't really replace all of them. San Francisco, again, playoffs looked vulnerable, and some of their guys are hurt. So I think that, honestly, you may have to knock the Jets off. Like I don't know if I put them at one, but I would not argue with you if you did.
And the thing is, that's bound to happen. Like that, I feel like some Jets fans don't understand that about, at least with the modern NFL. Like, you're not going to pitch a shutout every single game. Like, there are going to be games where the defense, they might, you know, they let up a couple of drives later in the game. Damn, I wish
Buffalo game.
Every single defense in the NFL does that. And I see so many Jets fans be like, the Jets defense can't be best in the NFL because of this one drive, because of this one game. It's like, we're looking at the overall average here, and every defense in the NFL is doing that. That's not – this isn't the 1970s, the 1980s, right? Like, you're going to have
the Jaguars put up, I believe, almost over 30 points on the 2000 Ravens.
Right.
Like, it happens sometimes. And
the 2000 Ravens are maybe the best defense in NFL history.
It happens sometimes.
It's going to happen, especially when your offense is as bad as the Jets was last year.
Looking at the ranking, it's funny because for those three that we mentioned, linebacker, defensive line, secondary, number two on each of them was San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco is number two on either of them. And looking at these lists, I really don't see a ton of – like Philadelphia at number three, I think you can make a case in the defensive line.
Yeah, their secondary's dropped off big time, though.
That front four is still really good. Then Detroit and Cleveland, 4 or 5. I'd still take the Jets over Detroit and Cleveland.
I might take the Eagles D-line over the Jets. And just ignoring coaching, ignoring scheme, just players overall. Quinnen is a big difference maker there because I don't think the Eagles have anybody that – I mean, Jalen Carter is great, but I don't think they have anybody right now that is as good as Quinnen Williams on that.
And Fletcher Cox just retired.
Fletcher Cox just retired as well. But they're so deep. Like their depth is insane.
And especially if Jordan Davis starts taking that year three leap and he becomes like Jordan Davis, then that one you actually got an argument there. And then if you go to linebackers, San Francisco number two, Chicago number three, TJ Edwards, Jermaine Edmonds.
They've been
ranked like 22nd a year ago. Now it's three. They both had good years. And then oddly enough, New England and the Giants, 4 or 5.
Ooh, Bobby Okereke or Okereke, however you pronounce his name.
I think it's Okereke.
Okereke? Wait, why am I blanking? Who's the other linebacker of the Giants? Okereke and who?
That's a fantastic question because I'm blanking too.
Who the hell is their other? Because Okereke was very good last year.
He was.
All right. Micah McFadden, Isaiah Simmons. Micah McFadden wasn't bad last year.
He's okay. I thought he was the backup.
No, according to our lads, at least, that is
Isaiah Simmons, who is one of those guys, like the idea of Isaiah Simmons has always been, I think, better than the player Isaiah Simmons.
You know, I don't know who they're even including in linebacker duo there. I have no idea. Unless you're saying Kayvon Thibodeau, who's not a linebacker.
McFadden, who came in at number 46 overall. So that means you have a top five defense,
Who's the
number 13 and 30 and 46? That means you have the top five linebacker duo.
Who's the Saints?
That makes any sense.
Who's the Saints other linebacker? Because DeMario Davis is still balling. He's still
DeMario really Davis is still balling. Again, left the Jet, still balling.
Oh, Pete Werner, Willie Gay. Yeah, it's so rare to have two great linebackers right now. Like, it's such a volatile position. That and cornerback are like, I feel like the two positions where it's just so much fluctuation in the top rankings year by year. I mean, look at Quincy Williams. Quincy Williams last year or before last year was I would say a below average starter at best is probably what I would have ranked him. And now
I'll happily take the L on that contract. I thought that was a horrible contract.
Absolutely. And now it looks like one of the best deals on the roster. And they're really glad they got him on that deal.
Maybe the best deal. And then if you look at the secondary, Jets, San Francisco, Buffalo, number three, probably a little high for them.
Yeah.
Baltimore, 4. They should be higher. Miami, 5. I don't know about that.
I think
they're better than they were, but I don't know about 5.
They're taking the loss of Xavier Howard as a good thing, which is probably true.
Which is not too far off considering his play and what he's done recently. So.
I see why they're putting the Bills that high. Rasul Douglas was low-key one of the best corners in the NFL last year, which is came out of absolutely nowhere. And then Teron Johnson, look, I love Michael Carter. I think Taron Johnson is a really good case to be the best slot corner in the NFL. It's why I think it's probably one of those two. Taron Johnson is an exceptional player.
I'm only happy for him because he was that guy. If you've ever seen that video,
yes,
who got hit in the head with the ball. That's yes. Taron Johnson.
Yes, he got hit in the face with the what is the name of that drill? The gauntlet is just
the gauntlet.
Yeah, and he looked the wrong way, and
I don't know if that helps you evaluate cornerbacks because you're never going to do that ever in a game. But
I have no idea. Clearly, Taron Johnson didn't do very well at that drill, and he's a great NFL corner. So.
Yeah, it is utter bunk, like most on the combine. It is complete codswallop.
Is it crazy, Mike, to say that of the D-line, linebackers, and corners, that the D-line is the worst position group of the three in the Jets? Is that a crazy statement? Or am I just being biased based on how I feel about the offseason moves?
Well, it depends on if you value the depth, because as good as Quinnen is, the Jets' strength and how Saleh built this team is how deep they are. Like, that's what he wants, ideally.
True. Now,
I think he kind of lucked into Quinnen being as good as he is, that he has one guy that he can just put out there every single play and not have to worry about how much he's rotating guys and can just win in pass rush situations easily. But the whole point of Hassan Reddick and Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson and getting Javon Kinlaw, like, the depth is the point. So if you value just star power, maybe you'll put somebody else over there. But if you value depth, which PFF seems to value depth, then I think it's clearly the Jets.
Well, I'm saying of the three, like, is the D-line – is the Jets' defensive line worse than their linebacker core?
And well, I'm saying because of the depth, too. Like, if Mosley were to miss some time –
Jamie and Sherwood.
I don't feel as confident in like a Jamie and Sherwood or something like that coming into play as I would maybe like a Javon Kinlaw for Quinnen or Will McDonald for Hassan Reddick. Like, I feel more confident in that.
That's fair. I think I'd probably still put the linebacking core third. Also, because maybe this is a hot take. I don't expect the linebackers to be as good as they were last year. I think that was insane how great they were.
It's starting to be good, but that was just like a 10 out of 10 heater all season long.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to put this out in the universe, and I will knock on wood as I say it. The Jets have been exceptionally lucky with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. You have to imagine that eventually catches up to them. That being said, they've been exceptionally unlucky with injuries on the offensive side of the ball the last couple of years. So maybe we get a little bit of the universe balancing out. Maybe they don't play 14 different offensive linemen this year. That would
be the Jets, and it just never balances out. So,
or it's the Jets, and just the entire team gets hurt. Yeah.
By the way, I want to add, going off about Jets bad luck, did you see that clip going around Twitter today about the Jets losing to the Broncos during the Lou Holtz season?
No, I haven't.
Their board of trust, so they lost 46-3 in their second game of the year.
Yeah, it was bad.
The Broncos. Season. It was so bad that actually John Ralston, who was the coach of the Broncos, wrote Lou Holtz a letter apologizing for winning by that much because he loved Lou Holtz as a college coach. It was so bad. In that game, the guy who was the chairman of the board of the Jets had a heart attack and died by the end of that day. Game was so bad that it killed him.
That, you know, the famous, I think it's Don LaGreca, Grant, where he's like, they killed Gil Hodges.
Yes.
That's what that just reminded me of. The Mets killed Gil Hodges.
The game was so wretched, it killed somebody.
Yeah. Because
he had a heart attack. The pain of it all. And then
somehow
I'm coming, Elizabeth. And then he went.
Somehow that's not even like a top 10 unfortunate moment in Jets history. They killed a guy. And like,
I feel like that has to be just on the sheer mortality.
Nobody even knows about it, though. Everyone, no one will talk about that. They'll talk about Geno Smith. By the way, happy birthday, Ikan and Polly. I believe today is his birthday. Weird little side note there.
How do you know that?
Because I'll do like happy birthday posts on the Jets Facebook. And I saw his Ikan and Polly's birthday. I'm like, this is an opportunity to revisit something here. So happy birthday, Ikan and Polly. Anyway,
moving away from the macabre, we will go to a 2025 mock draft, which at this stage in the process is, to use a phrase from earlier in the show, utter bunk. And it will tell you very little about kind of the lay of the land and what will happen in about 9 months of time.
Sure.
But there are some things I think philosophically that will ring true. Like, teams may consider drafting a quarterback now and they may consider it in April. So I think that right now is the best use of a mock draft, is figuring out what positions teams will take instead of what players. So the Jets, using ESPN's latest mock draft from Matt Miller, now they rank based on what they call their football power index, which is a bunch of random formulas jumbled together and it vomits out a number. And they had the Jets as picking 20th. That's where this machination of formulas ended up with the Jets. 20th, which that'd be good because that means the Jets made the playoffs and broke the streak. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now at 20, they are taking a quarterback, specifically Riley Leonard, who was at Duke last year, and he transferred to Notre Dame. So he's going to be a Gold Domer this year. And I'm not going to get too mad at a 2025 mock draft, especially if you're a draft analyst. Like, this is just stuff you got to do nowadays. But I would find it hard to believe that if the Jets finally break through and end the curse, because that's all this season's about, is go for it, go for it, go for it. I would find it hard to believe that at 20, they would consider taking a quarterback, especially a raw quarterback who has accuracy issues like Riley Leonard. But that's the least of the point. I think this team is all in on Aaron Rodgers. They are all in on this moment. And if Aaron Rodgers at the end of the year says, I want to play two more years, you know what they're doing? They're giving him a two-year contract. And he's going to play out the remainder of that contract. And it'll be awkward because it's a 41-year-old quarterback, and there aren't many 41-year-old quarterbacks in NFL history, and even fewer who were good. I get all that. But to go through all of this hullabaloo for Aaron Rodgers pre- and post-injury and then go, let's just start over after one successful year, that doesn't seem like something I think Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas would, A, want to do, and B, even have the cachet to do. Because I don't know if they're going to be around long enough to develop a young quarterback, especially if they keep failing in the playoffs.
You're really maximizing your vocabulary today. Cachet, hullabaloo.
I have a degree that is useful in very few situations. I got to use it in some. So
what do you mean? What is your degree? What did you study?
My degree is in sports communication. So
I feel like that is that not exactly what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, it was. So I'll give it that. You know, I went to school for that, and here I am doing this. So
sports communicating right here.
Well, you did do a lot of class like in the more digital side of it, like the actual like TV production part of it, like how to edit certain things. Like it was a lot more back end, honestly, and I had to do a lot more of the writing and creative stuff kind of on my own. But yeah, guess it worked.
You're using it. A lot of people don't use their degrees at all. So
I mean, we work with people who have a degree in hotel management and then they work in sports.
I went to school for sport management. Most of my friends that went to school for sport management do not work in sports. That's just how it is. We're lucky.
We're one of the lucky ones.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
But yeah, as far as the Jets taking a quarterback in the first round next year, even if they make the playoffs, I can see it. I'm not going to lie. I can see it. I think right now the Jets are operating under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers will play 2 years. That is kind of the window that they're operating in. So they have this year and then they have next year. If the Jets make it to the playoffs, first round exit, obviously there's so many different variables here. How did they get eliminated? You know, were there injuries? How did Rodgers play? What did they do in the offseason before the draft? So many variables. Obviously, it's
luckily, we have very nuanced local media and WFAN that will take a very,
Sean Moran.
Go up this thing's butt with a microscope and look at every possible angle instead of just say, he's a bum. They should have got Harbaugh, you know.
Brandon Tierney can definitely be trusted to be unbiased with his analysis.
Hey, absolutely. Marist College, class of 90. something. You watch it.
I got Kevin James from Portland, so I feel like I win.
You don't go promoting Kevin James like some sort of.
I don't even think he graduated. I think he just went there.
There you go. That's even more concerning.
But I can very much see a scenario where the Jets draft the quarterback. It would be a situation where they know this guy's not going to play year one. And I think they are, specifically Woody Johnson, is very much on board with that. And if Joe Douglas is still there, which if the Jets make the playoffs, you'd imagine that everyone is brought back next year. I think Joe Douglas would be on board with having a quarterback sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a year because they all remember the Zach Wilson situation. And Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson, they remember the Sam Darnold situation, as does Joe Douglas. They remember how that stuff happened.
They remember it before and didn't get a backup. So, I mean, how strong is their memory anyway?
I believe that they remember this enough so that they're like, maybe having a quarterback sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a year, especially if they're drafted at 20, because you're not getting one of the top quarterbacks in the class. If you're drafting someone at 20, you're hoping they could probably sit and learn for a year. I could very much see that being a scenario. Now, I don't know who it's going to be. There's a lot of different quarterbacks. Riley Leonard's up there. Obviously, someone like a Carson Beck, you would assume right now is going to be in that top quarterback list. Anything can happen from now until April. Jalen Milroe, who, shout out, by the way, I got an interview up with Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe. Cheap plug. You can check that out on the Stack in the Box YouTube channel. Really cool dude. But yeah, there's a lot of different quarterbacks. We have no idea who it would be.
Shedeur Sanders.
Sure, absolutely.
He's an okay prospect too. I don't think he's like a crazy good athlete either.
Yeah.
And I do find it funny, not funny in a way, I guess kind of funny in a sad way, if that makes any sense. Like, when they had all those stories about guys leaving Colorado because they didn't really feel like real like teammates here. And yeah, like Deion didn't even remember my name. And he goes, I don't remember this guy. He probably sucks. I'm like, right, I don't think that's like, what you want to tell. You don't want to put that out there for teams. It's like, I'm a great leader when you're like, hey, this guy I played with sucks. Like,
it's a big year for Shedeur. I feel like I could see his stock going all the way up to top three pick, or I could see it falling to day three. Like, I think he needs a guy
next to him. Like, if he ever thinks of doing that, just to look at him sternly and go, no. Yeah. Like a PR guy, just no.
Yeah.
And that will improve his draft stock immensely.
I agree. But yeah, man, I think that there's definitely a chance that the Jets go quarterback next year. I mean, just looking ahead to what their potential needs outside of quarterback might be. Offensive line, you imagine, are going to probably try and address early again. They do have Olufoshanu, who's probably the left tackle of the future, but they don't have anything at left tackle for the future. Obviously, Morgan Moses is there now, but unless Carter Warren develops into a guy that they think they can start in the future, they might have to address there. I don't think Elijah Vera Tucker is a sure thing by any means right now because of his injury history. You assume he's a starter next year, but we don't know. John Simpson's a wild card. We have no idea there, so they could go off offensive line. We talked about it in the past. I think cornerback is a sneaky need that they might address next year if they let DJ Reed walk. I'm under the assumption right now that they are going to let him walk and they will extend Michael Carter. So unless they think a guy like Quantez Stiggers or Brandon Echols will be a free agent as well, but maybe they could bring him back. Unless they want to go that route, maybe they do address corner and they just want to keep having, you know, a loaded secondary, a loaded cornerback room. There's a lot of different options they can go. They can go wide receiver. There's so many different routes. But I think quarterback is absolutely going to be one of them. And it's very early right now, but I don't think it's crazy to project the Jets drafting quarterback, especially later in the first round, or I guess even earlier. Obviously, if they're picking earlier in the first round, you imagine that this season did not go very well. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, maybe that is it for the Aaron Rodgers era. And maybe he walks away at the end of the year. So then, yeah, you're probably going to draft the quarterback. But either scenario, I think it's very feasible that the Jets draft a QB.
Now, the Jets may be drafting a quarterback, but we're going to draft some defensive players with our all-time Jets draft. So, quick refresher for those of you who did not catch up on last week's show. We drafted all-time Jets teams for the offensive side of the ball, and my team was covered in glory, and Justin's was slightly below average, depending on who you ask.
Wow.
I know we got some varying opinions here.
We got Joe Namath. We got Don Maynard. 2015.
Brandon, I didn't have Marshall to pick a specific year for one player.
Well, you didn't let me put Brandon Marshall at tight end. That's your fault.
Because it was the tight end.
Wayne Corbett is not touching 2015 Brandon Marshall. Get out of here.
Well, yeah, what about 2016 Brandon Marshall and 2017? They got rid of him.
You could have taken 2015 Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I would have been like, that's a great pick.
I'll do this honorably by only picking really good careers of players.
All right, well,
so since moving on from that, though, we will continue with the defensive side of the ball. As you see, yes, the parameters are all right there, where we have two edge rushers, two defensive tackles, two linebackers, a safety, and two cornerbacks.
Yep.
So
this is the most official graphic, by the way. This isn't, this definitely isn't just a spreadsheet that I have pulled up that we made right before this show. Definitely.
All right. So Justin got the first pick last time.
Yes.
I feel like it's in the name of fairness, I should get the first pick this time.
I have a plan here that I, but it's going to require you doing something here. So let's see.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Let's see what you do.
So I'm going to go and reinforce my secondary first.
I figured. Okay.
Because there's only one player that in Jets history that I feel like if you compare him with the all-time greats on the defensive side where he comes out favorably to most of them,
yeah,
I got to go with Darrell Revis over at cornerback.
Yeah,
that's Revis fair. Island was still very much a thing, despite what Asante Samuel says. There was about a four-year period where, or even a five-year period, where it was not even a question Darrell Revis was the best defensive back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to count for something.
See, my hope was that for some reason you wouldn't take Revis because you'd be like, oh, let me go Robert Saleh. Let me build from the front four. Let me take like a Joe Klecko. And then if you did that, I was going to take both Darrell Revis and Sauce Gardner. That was my plan. And that was going to be the best secondary in NFL history. But alas, I cannot do that. I do get back-to-back picks here, though. And I will still be taking Sauce Gardner. It doesn't really matter the order that I do these.
I think
that Sauce Gardner, through the first 2 years of his career, is, and I don't say this lightly, he's on pace to be the best cornerback in NFL history. Who knows if he'll end up keeping up that pace? He probably won't. But no cornerback in NFL history has ever been first team All Pro through the first 2 years of their career. At his peak, Sauce Gardner is already had one of the best peaks of any Jets player ever. And it, for most teams, would be the best peak of any cornerback ever. They just happen to have Darrell Revis, who at his peak was probably the best corner ever. That 2009 season from Darrell Revis, probably the best season by a cornerback that we've ever seen. But give me Sauce Gardner. Give me the first-team All-Pro back-to-back years to start his career. And then I feel like there's one other player here who is certified All-Pro every single year or, you know, at his peak, who is a Hall of Famer now, finally. Give me Joe Klecko. We're taking Joe Klecko on the defensive line. This is a guy who made the Pro Bowl at three different positions, essentially, if you want to include DN, D-tackle, nose tackle. He did it all. A guy who, in a lot of ways, revolutionized the defensive line position in the NFL. Joe Klecko and Sauce Gardner is actually ridiculous, and I don't even care what else you take here. I think I already won. So
let's just see. I'm going to go and lean on somebody else for this next pick because okay. Those viewers who may know, I have a younger brother. His name is Dominic. He is 8 years old. He is a big Lions fan, but he also likes the Jets. And he collects football cards. And he gave me a card, because he knows I like the Jets, of the guy I'm picking next, Mark Gastineau. Gastineau, who he's had some problems. We all know what he did off the field, but... for a 4 or 5 year period, I mentioned this to Justin earlier in the show, probably the best pass rusher in the league between 1981, 20 sacks, third defensive player of the year voting, 82 strike shortened season, 6 and 9 games, 83, 84, 19 and 22, both of which led the league, latter of which was the record until Michael Strahan got gifted it by Brett Favre falling down to break the record. So I know TJ Watt got it since, but that was the record for however long. And even after that, 13 and a half sacks. Like Klecko, it's the consistency versus the peak argument, because what got Klecko into the Hall of Fame was how good he was for so long at so many different positions. But I think if you were asked pretty much anybody on the Jets and who played against them, who was better in the moment, Joe Klecko or Mark Gastineau, I feel like everybody would say Mark Gastineau. Okay, his peak was that rare.
Yeah.
So I got my defensive lineman. I'm going to go on to an area where not a ton of stars, I'm going to admit. And that's the linebacker spot.
I don't want you to take the guy I want. Now that
Klecko's gone, it's the guy that I think Jets fans should be pushing to get into the Hall of Fame. Give me Larry Grantham.
Damn it. That's who I wanted.
Yeah. Larry Grantham. Did you know, Justin, that Larry Grantham made 8 All-Pro teams in 9 years?
Yes, that's why I wanted to take him.
5 in a row, first-team All-Pro to begin his career.
Shoot.
And then he missed only 1 year after that between 1960 and 1969. Probably the best New York Titans player ever.
Yeah.
And still has, if tackles are not an official stat, or they weren't when he played, I'm sure if they counted him up, he would be blowing everybody out of the water. So Larry Grantham, he's my linebacker.
Damn it. Yeah, he was best player left available. That was, I wanted him. My plan was to take.
Your confidence is shaking. Where was this a minute ago?
I'm still confident. You know why I'm still confident? Because I'm going to double up on the defensive line right here and give me a guy who I think right now at his peak is already the second best defensive tackle in Jets history. Give me Quinnen Williams. Joe Klecko and Quinnen Williams next to each other is ridiculous. There's a couple other guys you can consider there, and I think you still have some good players. More so, I probably 3-4 ends. You can dip back into the sack exchange if you want to as well. But I think Joe Klecko and Quinnen Williams with Sauce Gardner, you're just adding Joe Klecko to the current Jets defense, and that's just not fair. So give me Quinnen Williams as well, another All-Pro. And now I have an interesting decision because I wanted to take Larry Grantham. That was my plan there. So I could go. What do I do here? Do I favor?
Don't ask me for help. You're on your own here.
I'm talking out loud. I'm talking through my process. Do I favor longevity or do I favor peak? That is the question. And I think if we're basing this off of how I went about last week's draft, I went based on peak. And so I think I'm going to do that again. And I don't want to be like a recency bias merchant because there's some other really good players. And I was about to take Larry Grantham. But I'm going to take my first edge rusher because I don't think there's a lot of great ones there. And I'm going to take John Abraham. Give me John Abraham. I think at his peak, John Abraham was probably the second best edge rusher in Jets history. There's a couple other guys you consider who had more longevity. But I believe John Abraham did Gastineau make first team All-Pro? He probably did, right?
Yes, he did.
So Abraham might be the only other Jets edge rusher to make first team All-Pro, unless this player did.
Klecko did 1 year because he moved around. Yeah. That was his big thing. He was All-Pro three positions.
There is one other player who did it, but I'm not going to mention him just in case you want to take him. But give me John Abraham. So my D-line, I got Abraham, Klecko, and Quinnen. That's ridiculous.
That's pretty good, building from the front. But
I'm feeling good.
It's going to be easy to throw on you if you don't improve that linebacking core and that secondary.
I think the linebackers, there's a few names in there that I have it on. After Larry Grantham, I think there's a few guys in a similar tier for me.
I don't disagree necessarily.
So let's see.
I'm looking at this team, I'm looking at my secondary again.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a guy who is another guy that I don't think will get to the Hall of Fame, but I think he's close. He played most of his career with the Jets. It's Aaron Glenn. It's Aaron Glenn, who's a hell of a defensive coordinator. I think he's probably going to be a head coach
for sure.
His next head coaching cycle. Aaron Glenn, 8 years with the Jets as the number 12 overall pick. Pretty solid. 24 interceptions, 3 Pro Bowls, defensive rookie of the year, and then the freaking Texans had to get him in the expansion draft. And he was good there, but he just was in football hell with an expansion bad Texans team forever. And I think that kind of muddled some of his legacy, but Aaron Glenn could ball, man. And of course, he was on Rich Kotite's Jets, so that didn't help. But get Aaron Glenn on some good teams, man. Because when he was on Parcells, people took notice. And then I'm looking again. My defensive line is quite thin, especially on the interior. So I feel like I'm going to have to go on the interior.
Yeah, you got nobody there right now.
At some point. Now, I was going to go look for another defensive end that I thought you might take. Looking at it again, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is a tough one just because there is a linebacker that I want to take, but I don't want to just completely neglect the defensive line. So what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to go ahead and take that linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take Mo Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to take him next round. All right, fair enough.
Because Mo Lewis gets a lot of crap from Jets fans because he inadvertently started Tom Brady's career. So he gets kind of Bill Buckner, like how Bill Buckner had 2,700 hits and was a 300 hitter for most of his career. People remember that one play at the end. Mo Lewis had over 1,000 tackles in his career, 3 Pro Bowl seasons, all with the Jets, was pretty much the leader of their defense, would get 10 sacks as an inside linebacker sometimes. I mean, Mo Lewis did it all and then inadvertently helped Tom Brady become a thing. So I get that that's a thing, but Mo Lewis, that's a pretty damn good linebacking core, I got to say.
Yeah, I think you got the 2 best linebackers in Jets history. So that definitely helps. I was going to take Mo Lewis. You nipped 2 of my linebackers right before I was going to take him, because I was going to take Grantham, then you took him, and then I was going to take Mo Lewis, and then you took him. So now I have to regroup. Well, now I don't have to worry about linebacker because you're not going to take another one. So I'm going to worry about positions here where you can take another player, which that means I'm going to draft an edge and a safety. The edge, okay. I'm in between 2 players here. Both of them are older. The Jets don't really have a great edge rush group. To the point where Calvin Pace is on my board. I'm not going to take him, but I think Calvin Pace is probably a top 5 or 6 edge rusher in Jets history, which is, it's not great. I mean, no disrespect to Calvin Pace. It was very good for, you know, a while, but I would not say that he's on a lot of teams' top edge boards normally. But I feel like I've taken a lot of new players. In fact, other than Klecko, I've taken only players who have played after 2000. So I'm going to change that, and we're going to go all the way back to the 60s, and we're going to go for a guy who played for the Jets when they won a championship. This is a guy who was a multi-time All-Pro, multi-time Pro Bowler. Other than John Abraham and Mark Gastineau, the only other Jets edge rusher to be named first-team All-Pro, to my knowledge, give me Jerry Philbin, who is a guy who a lot of, you know, I feel like younger Jets fans probably wouldn't be familiar with. Jerry Philbin
played. Your grandparents, they know. They remember.
Right, he played 9 years with the Jets, was first-team All-Pro in 1968 and 1969, had 26 sacks over those 2 years, led the NFL in sacks in 1968. Give me Jerry Philbin. It's a weird duo with him and John Abraham. Now let me write this down. But I think my defensive line is looking absolutely nasty. I think that I'm building the Robert Saleh approach here with just filling out my D-line before really anything else, because I haven't added a linebacker. I've only added 1 secondary player. But we could change that now. Safety, I feel like there's 2 players here that make sense. We did only have 1 safety here, partially because there's not really a great history of Jets safeties.
Now, I could go 60 years and get a couple decent ones, but not really. Now,
we could go for longevity, and I think that's who you're going to take, because I'm not going to take the longevity guy. Instead, I'm going for peak. Give me peak. Give me prime Jamal Adams as my safety.
You got some explaining to do.
Jamal Adams was a first-team All-Pro. You're going to throw out Victor Green? Victor Green didn't even make a Pro Bowl in his career. Victor Green was very good. I love – this is no disrespect to Victor Green, who was a very good safety for a long time. You could throw in other names like Burgess Owens, like you know, Eric McMillan, whoever you else want to throw out there. Victor Green's probably the guy who a lot of players – or a lot of people would say – Jamal Adams at his peak was the best safety in Jets history. I know how it ended. We're going for peak here. That's why I put 2015 Brandon Marshall. So we're going to just go. In fact, I'm going to say prime Jamal Adams.
Again, bending the rules, but I will do mine honorably.
The rules. We are taking the player at his peak, and I think Jamal Adams at his peak. There, I don't think you can make an argument. I don't think there's been a safety at their peak with the Jets that was better than Jamal Adams, because Jamal Adams at one point, go back to 2018, 2019, was the best safety in the NFL. Victor Green, never close to being in that conversation. So give me Jamal Adams.
The whole blitz boy thing is really unfair, I think, to how good Jamal was. And he didn't want to play for Adam Gase. How horrible.
Injuries, a bad scheme, and unfortunately, you could argue a bad attitude, have unfortunately ruined his career. But at his peak, man, there was literally nobody better. He was the best safety in the NFL at one point.
So I'm going to go beef up my defensive line here.
Yeah, I feel like you need to.
A modern and an older player. I'm going to go modern first because I think he's better.
Okay.
But I'm going to get my other edge rusher, and I'm going to go with a guy who was pretty solid. Never really got the credit. From a first-round pick, and never blew up, but pretty solid player for a very long time. Sean Ellis.
You're putting him on edge? You're going edge or D-line with him?
I'm going edge for Sean Ellis because he was an edge rusher.
I guess. He played 3-4 end for a lot of it too. He's like 290, no?
Yeah, it's Muhammad Wilkerson stuff where he was, you know, big, but he was a defensive end for all practical purposes.
I'll allow it. Even though you didn't allow me to put Brandon Marshall tight end.
Well, the next guy is kind of similar in that he kind of moved between, you know, okay. Interior, outside anyway. Another older guy. I'm rebuilding the New York Sack Exchange with Marty Lyons.
Yeah. I feel like Lyons would be more – because Lyons was like 270 or 260, right?
Well, yeah, but guys were just smaller back then.
So. I guess that's true. Jerry Philbin's like 235, so whatever.
I mean, yeah, what was Gastineau for crying out loud? And Gastineau was on enough steroids to kill a horse, and he was 266.
That's great.
So,
all right. You got two forts of the Sack Exchange. I got one of the other ones. I don't know if Abdul Salam.
You can't pick Abdul Salam.
It's up to you. You can take Abdul Salam if you want. I can't take him. You'd have to take him. All right, I feel like it's about time I get my first linebacker, right? I don't have any linebackers. We're not even prioritizing linebackers. Who cares? But I wanted Larry Grantham, and I wanted Mo Lewis. Took him right before me. So I got to go with the next two guys probably on my list. The first one I'll take, give me Kyle Clifton. It's a guy who played for a long time in the NFL. You know, I don't know if at his peak he was ever one of the best in the league, but he's a guy who always was a consistent leader in that Jets defense during some pretty bad times for the Jets too. Played there forever. I know I go for peak with a lot of these. This is definitely more of a longevity pick. Led the league in tackles on multiple occasions. Rock solid linebacker in the middle of that defense. Give me Kyle Clifton. And I'll save my last linebacker for the last pick because I'm deciding between a couple of players. So I'll go back to cornerback and I'll take my second corner. There's a few guys you can consider here. I will consider, I'm not going to take him, but I think Antonio Cromartie belongs to be considered in the conversation just for his peak. I think he was really good. But I think there's other guys who I'd probably still take ahead of him. You could throw in a DJ Reed. You could throw in a Michael Carter just by recency bias, but I'm not going to take either of them. If you had a slot corner here, probably just because the history of slot corners, it's not like been a position for a very long time. And who we throw in there, Buster Screen, Brian Poole, like it would be Michael Carter. But I'm going to take a guy who I think you can make a very good case is probably the fourth best corner in Jets history, which is why I'm going to take him. He's a two-time Pro Bowler, but he did not make either of those Pro Bowls with the Jets. Started his career with the Jets. Then he went over to Kansas City, which is probably where he played his best ball. But give me James Hasty, kind of an underrated, forgotten name in Jets history. Again, he wasn't on some very good Jets teams, kind of left right before things started to turn around with the Parcells era. But yeah, give me James Hasty. I think he's a solid number two corner right alongside Sauce Gardner, who obviously right now is the best cornerback in the NFL.
I feel like you did kind of take some of the surprise out of one of my picks because you're saying, okay, Well, it's obviously going to be this other guy. So let's just get the mystery out of the way with as to make my last two. The safety's Victor Green.
Would you have taken Victor Green over Jamal Adams?
Honestly, yeah.
Okay. That's so tough.
Victor Green, you get a pretty long tenure of play that was good, but not really recognized because the Jets were terrible around him, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I feel like there may have been some Pro Bowls in there if he was on a better team. Jamal Adams, I know, was really good, but you got to take into account how short it was. The fact he pretty much does not like Jets fans anymore. I'm about to ruin my logic because I'm going to take another guy who left the Jets on very bad terms.
Are you taking? Oh, I think I know who you're taking.
You know who I'm taking.
Are you going? Going
guy. Boy, was he good originally, but it's got to be Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
A guy who got paid and then just immediately gave up. So he's going to be on my vet minimum deal. So that way he's always like motivated to play because when he got money, he just stopped trying. But
sure.
Man, those first few years, like up until 2015, remember how we were screaming and banging the table? Like, why isn't Quinnen Williams getting the respect he deserves? Like, before he recently just went nuts. Yeah. We were doing the exact same thing with Muhammad Wilkerson.
Sure.
And now I know that he came, right. Literally, he got picked the year after they went to the AFC Championship game, and then that's kind of where the decline started, but wasn't his fault.
No, he was great.
It wasn't his fault, especially at his best. He was an All-Pro multiple times. Probably missed out on a couple of Pro Bowls. He was good.
He was really good. And I made sure to note that it was pre-extension Muhammad Wilkerson, because we all know what happened as soon as he got paid.
He just stopped trying hard. He just gave up.
Yeah. Linebacker's a really interesting one for me here, because there's a couple of guys who I think are just – they're very, very, very similar, like in the same exact tier for me. It's so tough. I'm literally just looking up their stats to see if I can think of anything that differentiates them for me. All right. I'll give a shout out to a linebacker who I was talking to my dad last week. He's probably, if he's watching this, he's gonna be like, oh yeah, he's mentioning it. Shout out to Lance Mell, because he was really good at his peak, but his longevity just wasn't there as long. So I can't put him there, but my dad will be happy I shouted him out. So there you go. So I think I'm in between two linebackers here. Although I will say also, CJ Mosley, he's not there yet. Give him if he has another couple of years of like really good play, I think he'll jump ahead of some of these guys. And you could may already make the argument because he was second team All-Pro at the Jets 2 years ago, and then he was really good last year. But I'm in between David Harris and Marvin Jones, and they have such similar careers, like remarkable.
I know who I would take. This isn't a debate for me. I know.
Really? Really? Yeah. All right. Well, they both played 10 years with the Jets. Both of them were never one of the best players necessarily at their position. I would say they're probably in that top 10 category a couple of times. I'm going to take David Harris because David Harris made an All-Pro team and Marvin Jones did not make an All-Pro team. And I think that David Harris was part of better defenses as well. He was part of those consecutive AFC championship defenses, was an important part of those teams. I don't know if a lot of that defense is what it is without David Harris. And I just would feel bad if he went undrafted here because he was one of my favorite Jets for a long time. Give me the hitman. Give me David Harris as Mr. Irrelevant, as the final pick in our all-time Jets offense and Jets defense draft.
Do you know how many games he missed between 2008 and 2015?
Was it any? Did he miss any?
Ugats. None.
Yeah, none. Exactly.
Every day he was out there just consistent. Every single day he knew what you were getting with David Harris.
Yep. So that's who we got. For the audio listeners, we'll read off our teams really quick. So I'll read mine. We'll just go in position order. My edges are John Abraham and Jerry Philbin. D-line, Joe Klecko and Quinn Williams. Linebacker, Kyle Clifton and the hitman, David Harris. Corners, Sauce Gardner and James Hasty. And safety is prime Jamal Adams. Mike, who do you got?
I got Mark Gastineau and Sean Ellis on the edge. I got Marty Lyons and pre-extension Muhammad Wilkerson on the defensive line, Larry Grantham and Mo Lewis, the linebackers, Darrell Revis and Aaron Glenn, the corners, and Victor Green at safety.
These are very interesting teams. Oh, Brian in chat brings up a good point here. He says, maybe it's cheating, but DeMario Davis is a better player overall than Harris, just not with the Jets. That is true. But
if Ronnie Lott played for the Jets too.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was going to be like that. I'll take Ronnie Lott as my safety if we're going that route. But that is fair.
DeMario Davis. You could have put John Riggins on your offensive team.
True. And the running back team. Well, yeah, John Riggins would go ahead of Freeman McNeil. And that's a shame, but he would if we're taking his.
John Riggins.
I mean, if we're doing that, Mike, give me Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback.
But that'd be great. Like, just find all the guys. Didn't Ed Reed play for the Jets for like two games?
Ed Reed. He played for the Jets for a full season. Yeah. Ed Reed.
Didn't he?
Maybe. I don't know if he made it through.
He went to Texans. That's where he went to. They traded him to the Texans.
That's actually a great idea, though, for a future. We should 100% do that. Like, best all-time Jets team just using any players that have ever played a game for the Jets. That is actually a really fun idea.
Derek Mason on the receivers list.
Derek Mason. Would Derek Mason even make it? Like, or would there not be other guys?
The fact that there's a good chance he's probably the best receiver in the history of two different franchises, and he's Derek Mason.
What's funny is the centers probably wouldn't change. It would probably just still be Mangold and Mawai. I don't think
that changes. Jets have always had good interior offensive line play. It's a weird area of expertise.
Tackle might change. I'm trying to think of who else would be there. I mean, well, Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith. So yeah, that's Tyron on both of them. So
that is a great idea for a future draft that we got to do. But
what guys who only played one season with the Jets?
Well, just over. I mean, we could do that too. But you could just like best one hit wonders in Jets history. There's so many of those. I mean, remember the 1 year Aaron Maben was pretty good. Remember that?
Pretty good. I don't even think he was that good. I think he just had five sacks. I mean.
He had six sacks. I don't know why I thought of that when I was thinking of best money wonders. But he was good.
Pretty good. I mean, it was okay for a year.
He didn't have a single sack in any other year of his career. And he had like six sacks of the Jets that year.
So. Oh, what do you want, a cookie? Six sacks. Wow.
All right, man. Look.
He's a teacher now, by the way.
What was that?
Aaron Maven's a teacher now. So.
Oh, good for him.
Aaron Maven.
Good for him. Remember that one year?
He's not good at football, so he found his other calling.
Remember that 1 year of Coney Ealy, where Coney Ealy just knocked down every pass at the line of scrimmage? I don't know why I'm thinking of these names now. We should do a whole show one time when we're like, remember this obscure Jet?
What, just like we're in a bar, just like, hey, remember this guy? Remember this guy? Like,
remember Chaz Schillens, Mike? Remember Chaz Schillens?
Remember Sharon Peake? Yeah, like.
Yes, Clemson legend, Sharon Peake. I'm enjoying this. This is fun.
Yeah, I just don't think it's like great audio content just two guys listing random names for an hour.
Totally not good content at all. We can get Chad involved. Chad can throw out the most obscure Jets names they can remember. Remember Caleb Schlotterff, Mike? Do you know who that is? Okay. I got you. Let's go.
Okay, you win. Hooray. You feel good about yourself or what?
Did he ever play a game? I think he started a game, Caleb Slaughter. Now I'm just going out of – I'm going off
the rails. He doesn't even know if he started a game. So you know that's concerning.
He was drafted by the Packers. How do you spell his name? Here it is. Caleb Slaughter. Caleb Slaughter have started one game with the 2011 Jets, and he played 12 total games with the Jets. I give me knowledge of Jets, of the Jets from like 2009 to like current, and I probably know every player to play the team at some point.
We will pay you, listeners. Justin will pay his salary if you find some way to use that information he just gave you in your daily life.
Remember Braden Bowman? I'm just going to keep throwing out names. Remember Will Ty played for the Jets? We're going off the rails. Let us know in the comments. Let us know in the replies, whatever, which of us has the better team. We had the offense up there. We had the defense up there. You can just rewind a few minutes and see them both up there because we have the whole list up there. And hopefully we can use those presentation, like the visual aids more because, you know, we gotta get better at that. We're still learning this podcasting thing. And we've been doing this for over a year now. But yeah, man, that's it. I guess, you know, we'll be back here next week. I hope that everybody has a good 4th of July weekend. I hope there's, Mike, you have any fun plans coming up this weekend?
Not particularly. Sitting around, there's that. So. Okay,
that's always fun.
Celebrate our freedom, yeah.
There you go. That's a fun thing we could do.
Yeah, we do speak English. We'd all be speaking German if not for – this is a horrible analogy.
All way off the rails.
Okay.
Go so well.
We won't be speaking British right now if it weren't for these guys.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Any final words?
I'd be having tea and going to the loo and watching the telly if not for this.
I think
going to my car's boot if not for these sacrifices. So remember America and remember the Jet Press podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. And we're on YouTube at the Jet Press. It's where you can like and subscribe and do all that jazz. Justin, any final words? Before we sign off.
I think you said it all right there. I think you went with the boot and the loo. I think you nailed it, man. We always go
over when the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor. I've been
watching Band of Brothers with my dad, and that's been nice, I guess. So
I was quoting Animal House, so that was totally different.
I know, but I was just throwing out another, you know, I don't know.
You should do with your 4th of July. Watch Animal House.
Sure. I've actually never seen it, but I've heard great things.
It's good.
I'm sure. Anyway, we always go off the rails at the end of the show. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter @ByMikeLuciano. Follow me on Twitter @JustinT3. Follow the Jet Press at the Jet Press. Download the Jet Press podcast wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube and TikTok. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. You guys know what to do. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back here next week talking more things Jets. Thank you all for listening to Jet Press podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. We'll see you guys next time.
Happy 4th of July.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.